This episode is brought to you by VMGVinyl.com. Professional record cleaning, restoration, rejuvenation, and grading.
Refresh your records with VMGVinyl.com.
And with that, on with the show. Well, hey everyone, it's Nate. Welcome to episode 427 of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for record collectors and music nerds. And today, we have from the band Pigs, 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 Matthew Beatty, and Adam Ian Sykes. Now, many of you have probably heard of the band Pigs, 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 or as some lovingly refer to them as Pigs times 7, Pigs X 7, and their website mercifully is also pigstimes7.com. So, Pigs, 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 Pigs are a phenomenal heavy rock band out of the UK, Newcastle upon Tyne to be exact, and they have several killer records, including some rarities, and their latest album is Land of Sleeper. And actually, a more recent live LP just came out live in New York. Check those out. Also, Pigs, 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 Pigs are coming to Australia starting December 8th, going through December 16th. Meredith, Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, Brisbane. Dates, info, ticket links at pigstimes7.com and feelpresents.com. And just to let you know, there's an extended version of this interview available at patreon.com/vinylguide. Join our Patreon Legends community and get all the extras, extended interviews like this one, high-resolution audio, commercial-free episodes, and more. Plus, it's a great way to help support this show. If you enjoy The Vinyl Guide, you can help us keep cranking out these episodes. And of course, give your buddy Nate here a nice financial fist bump for the holidays. That's patreon.com/vinylguide. And thank you in advance for your generous support. And hey, one final thing, just a quick shout out to all the homies in Southern California that I've connected with on my brief stay. I'm here now, getting ready to fly back in another day. I've got a lot of great memories and a few suitcases full of vinyl records. So have a gander at my @vinylguide Instagram for pics and various glimpses of our recent California record adventure. So with the upfronts done, let's talk to Matt and Adam from Pigs, 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 Pigs.
Hello.
Look at you. Bang on fucking time.
That's me.
The consummate professional.
Yeah, that's it. I get nervous if I'm late for anything, so I...
Yeah.
It keeps me... the anxiety keeps me motivated.
Me too. I think it's always... I'm trying to teach my kids it's rude to be late, right? You know?
Yeah.
You right. Don't want to keep people... You don't want to be the guy that everyone's always waiting on.
That's it.
Like Adam, apparently.
Exactly. No, I can't speak for Adam. Let me...
That's all right. He's not officially late yet.
Adam, clearly a much less anxious man than myself. he's online on WhatsApp, so that's a good sign.
I'm sure he'll be joining us soon.
I popped in a message. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Good to see you. You excited about coming to Australia?
100%.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
Have you guys toured Australia before?
Nope. It's first time.
Your first time?
So,
man.
Mm-hmm. Gonna be cool.
What are you looking most forward to? I'm sure you've heard plenty of tales about Australia. What's something you're interested in seeing for yourself?
Well, you know what? So we're coming in December, which is, you know, that's your summertime.
Summertime, yeah.
Over here, we're plunged into almost permanent darkness. It's cold and wet. So having a little summertime break in the middle of our winter, that's going to be wonderful. That's going to be good for my mind, I think. Just a few rays of sunshine on me. So, yeah, it's going to be cool.
You'll be right at home with your shorts and your stage outfit. That may be too much. That may be, you know, you may need to strip off even more. It'll be so hot here.
Yeah, I hear it's quite warm. But, I've been preparing for a while now with the stage wear. It's all been leading up to us coming to Australia, I think.
How many short shorts do you have? Or is it just one pair that you just keep wearing all the time?
No, I've got a few. Maybe two or three pairs. But I do have one pair which are a particular favorite. So.
Oh, okay. You break them out for the big gigs. Is it kind of superstitious? Yeah?
Yeah, that's it. That's it, yeah.
Adam, how are you, man?
Hello, I'm good. Sorry, I've just woken up. So
There he is.
please forgive me.
That's all right. That's all
How
right.
you
No,
doing?
coffee yet or anything?
Nothing. No liquids at all.
Oh.
No shower, no toothbrush, no liquids.
Well, okay. Good thing they don't have smell-o-vision on these things. Do you need a cup of tea? Do you want to grab a little
No,
something?
honestly, I'm good.
All right.
Thank you.
No worries. Well, look, Matt and I were just talking about Australia. You're coming to Australia. It's the first time for the band. Have you been here as a tourist at all?
I have family over there. So yeah, I went over when I was 8 or 9.
Okay.
So I have hazy memories of the bunyip and various other exciting things.
Okay. So this will decisively be a very different experience then.
Yeah, very
Okay.
much so.
All right. And is there anything in particular you're looking forward to doing or seeing while you're down here?
I think we're all the collective excitement is often based around just food and exploring.
Are you getting much exploration time? Because I noticed your guys' schedule, December 8th through 16th, Meredith Festival, Melbourne, Canberra, Sydney, Brisbane. It sounds like a pretty packed schedule. Are you going to make some time to kind of go see something other than
It's
back of a stage?
very packed, but we're all pretty old and boring now, so we don't drink too much, and we're in bed pretty early after the show, so it allows us to rise quite early and get as much exploration in as we can.
Well, I guess, with the show you guys put on, you're pretty well knackered by the time you're at the end of the night. I mean, you must sleep pretty
Well,
hard after those, yeah?
Matt definitely is. I'm a little more bit more placid on stage, but yeah. Matt puts the hard work in.
All right. So, look, we're really looking forward to seeing you guys down here. And I want to make sure everyone knows, pigs, 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 pigs. It's coming to Australia December 8th through 16th. I think the cities we just said, Meredith Festival, Melbourne, Canberra, Sydney, Brisbane. It's going to be a set of very exciting shows. Your first time playing here down under. It's the perfect time of year. And you guys are doing it on the back of this new live album you have coming out, Live in New York. We talk to record collectors and we're a vinyl show. I haven't been able to find anywhere that I can get a copy of Live in New York on vinyl. Is it coming out on vinyl?
It is. We've kind of not announced that, but that's okay. You're allowed to know. It will be coming out on very, very limited numbers of vinyl, which we're kind of planning on selling exclusively. You're not going to want to hear this, but we're kind of selling it exclusively on our UK tour, on the UK tour dates that we've got coming up. Maybe fingers crossed for you. There might be some left after that that we maybe put up for sale online. It's not going to get widely distributed. We're kind of trying to keep it as a bit of a collector's thing. But yes, it will be coming out on it will be getting pressed on record. Yeah.
Yeah, we're self-releasing it, so doing it all ourselves. So yeah, we wanted to keep it a little bit, we didn't want to, well, we couldn't afford to, and we thought it'd be quite nice to have it as a fairly small run. Yeah, and just it's just sort of more of a, well, not more, but a big part of it is a sort of celebration of the memory of being there and doing it all. We never thought we'd have the chance to, so.
Okay, so when you say limited pressing, you're talking 500 or less?
There'll be 1,000 of them, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure they will be very high in demand, but God damn it, if you pack a few in your bag on the way to Australia, I'll absolutely relieve you of one if I get the opportunity. Pig that okay, let's get this out of the way because I'm sure you guys talk about this in every interview. The name Pigs, pigs, pigs,
Yeah.
pigs, 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 pigs. Now, is it okay to say pigs times seven, or I got to say the whole thing?
You seem nice enough, so we'll spare you from saying the whole thing every time.
Well,
I
you
think yeah.
barely know me, Matt. I mean, come on.
No, well, you seem friendly enough. If you were displaying some other more negative characteristics, I'd maybe insist on you saying the full thing. But no, pigs times seven, all pigs is it's just fine.
Yeah. And coming up with the name, I mean, it's a brilliant name. The first time I heard of your band, someone told me the name of your band and about three others, and yours is the one I remembered out of the lot. So, I mean, right. It's absolutely brilliant coming up with that name. Were there other contenders? How did you arrive at that name?
There were other contenders. And to be honest, I've kind of made space in my memory for other things. I can't remember what the other contenders are, but I imagine that they were almost just as preposterous as the band name that we're stuck with now. But that must have been the apex of all of them in terms of how obnoxious and ridiculous it is. So that's the one we chose, and that's the one we're forever stuck with.
Were there other animals that were contenders?
Chicken.
Yeah. Not yet.
It's too many syllables.
Chicken. Yeah. Yeah. I find when I talk about your band, there's a rhythm in it. There's the three pigs and then there's two sets of two. Pigs, 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 pigs. Yeah, that's how
the rhythm in my head. Some people like Old MacDonald's Farm. I'm sure there's other nursery rhymes you can fit in there, but.
And there's a space between each pigs and it's a capital P, just so I'm clear.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. Now, I noted that both you guys were in a band before Pigs, 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 called, yeah. I think the correct pronunciation is Kunt.
yeah, that's right.
Would that
yeah.
be correct? Okay. All right.
Good research.
So, yeah. So you guys are very good with band names. So how did you guys come together as a band? Now, as you guys have been playing together for quite some time as a unit, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 11 years next month.
So
yeah.
What were the bands and or the records that most shaped you?
I mean, you know, we've got, I think, very quite obvious kind of touchstones of, you know, the kind of things that we're influenced by. So, you know, bands like Black Sabbath and Motorhead and the Stooges and Hawkwind in there as well. But I often think that we were also really heavily influenced when we started the band by there was like a really, really, there still is, really healthy noise rock scene in the UK. And I think for me personally, I was just as influenced by the active bands that were around when we first got together. So they're still going. There's an amazing band called Nod from Manchester. There's a band called Part Chimp from London. There's loads, and for me, like, they were just as influential as the kind of, you know, the records of the bands of yesteryear. And we quite quickly fell into that scene as well. And very, very shortly after starting the band, we were getting contacted by different promoters or bands from other cities in Glasgow or Bristol or London, asking if we could go down there and do a show. And then at the time, Johnny, our bass player, he was putting on shows in Newcastle. So we were able to bring bands from other cities to Newcastle and share a stage with them here as well. So it was a really, really exciting time, and it was very, very fertile, this scene in Newcastle, which I think we came along at just the right moment. You know, how healthy that scene was then, it really benefited us as a band, because we were able to get on the road. Like,
we kind of got almost accepted in that scene quite early on in the life of Pigs. You know, we one of our first few gigs was down in London playing with a lot of the bands that Matt mentioned, and yeah, it was because I think it was so early on, it really did shape sort of where we're at now. We were still, you know, we'd had one release, which was 25 minutes long, and that was all we had, and I think
this is the split with the Cosmic Dead.
That's right, yeah.
The next sort of writing phase was after sort of meeting all these people and hearing all their incredible music. And so, yeah, I think Matt's totally on the money when, you know, there's a lot of current bands influencing us just as much as, you know, the classics.
So on that record, that split with the Cosmic Dead, I think the song The Wizard and the Seven Swines, that must have interrelated with the name of the band. Yes. I assume so, yeah.
So it was actually, we initially, I remember having the discussion, we're like, oh, maybe we'll call it The Wizard. And then there was a light bulb moment where like, oh shit, no, it's Black Sabbath have got a song called The Wizard. Well, let's just whack something on the end. That's basically how that came to be.
Yeah.
Now, that split is 2013. It was on the Old Noise record label. And as far as I know, that's the only release from the Old Noise records. Who was the Old Noise?
That was me. I think I did. I also did another two, which was one of Matt's old bands, Matt and Johnny, just Blown Out. And I also put out one of Ewan's old bands. And then I called it a day after that because my mental health couldn't hack.
Okay. Oh, so interesting you didn't put Live from New York on the Old Noise records.
No, it's long in the past that. I think we, because we also did a reissue of Wizard and the Seven Swines the year before last.
Yep.
And we just did that on a unnamed sort of print, really. So we just sort of, we like the idea of it just being a pigs thing, you know. Old Noise is very much in the past.
Okay. And it's a beautiful etching on the back of that reissue. Was the track remixed or altered in any way from the 2013 version?
Yeah, Sam remixed it, actually. Yeah, he did. Yeah, Sam does all of our production engineering, and before he basically wanted to take a swing at it before we decided we'd do it to make sure he'd be happy with what he could do with it, and he was. And it goes without saying that we all were. So
remix back to the multi-tracks.
It was partially remixed. Yeah, it was mostly a remaster, but there were little bits and pieces, I believe, that he remixed. Yeah.
So the Old Noise copy, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with the rarity of that. And
I'm not actually, I haven't really looked. I don't think I own a copy of it, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Currently they go for about $150.
Right. Wow. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Nice to see.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's, you know.
I think it was only 300 that I pressed. But, it's nice. I, you know, put a lot of thought and time into it. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's nice that it's, some people have it. You know, don't pay $150 for it.
Like, well, there's the 2020 reissue.
Sounds better.
Yeah. Well, that reissue, according to you, sounds even better. But you know how record nerds are, or do you? I mean, you seem like a band who kind of caters to record enthusiasts, right? You got these beautiful covers. You use Obi strips. It's kind of a band, almost, you know, made to, you know, with a lot of the characteristics that record collectors love to have. Is it? Do you guys come from a record background?
I do. So far as I buy albums on record, but I'm not a person who particularly cares what kind of, you know, if it's a secondhand record, I'm not really bothered what kind of pressing it is or what version it is, as long as it's the album that I enjoy and the record itself plays okay. I'm not really bothered, you know, I don't really buy records with a mind to kind of, you know, seeing them as having any sort of monetary value further down the line. I just, you know, I'll buy records and listen to them. But I think we all appreciate the kind of the aesthetics of vinyl in terms of, you know, what you can do kind of creatively with the package and with the artwork to make it, you know, more a more special thing than just kind of streaming an album on, you know, on Spotify or anything. So that's kind of where the kind of Obi strips and things like that come into play. We do discuss those types of things.
I've noticed I've assumed you use the Obi strips so you don't have to really, I guess, pollute the artwork with text. I don't know. Is that fair? I mean, it seems like the artwork you guys have on your albums, especially the, you know, Land of Sleep, is just gorgeous. You know,
I think it's all, you know, we put a lot of thought and care into the sort of the visual aspect of it. You know, we're all pretty visual people. So I think, partially that. The original Old Noise first record with Wiz and Seven Swines was just for, I have a slightly different mentality now, but to not pollute the artwork and to have just an Obi strip, thought would be a very nice thing. And I did actually get a pressing of that, and the pressing plant completely fucked it up, and had to go back to stage one and scrap it, redo the back. So it gave me a little bit of Obi strip related trauma there. So I was a bit scared about the new one, to be honest. But it came great. Yeah, I think it's more so just, you know, people are spending a lot of money on records. They're really expensive these days. And so, you know, if you're doing that, you kind of want something a little bit special, a little bit nice. And, you know, per unit, sort of the cost for those little things are fairly minimal compared to the actual pressing of the record. You know, that's where the bulk of the cost is, and that's where the cost is mainly going up. So if we can add those on without adding too much cost, I think it's a nice little thing to do. And yeah.
Okay, so 2014, you did the Psychobomb cassette, which was on Box Records. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, again, so that Box Records was a label that I was running at the time. I run it up until I kind of unofficially ended it towards the end of last year. So I've been running it for, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 years, something like that. I wasn't really keen at the time, kind of keen on releasing a lot of music by bands that I was in. I did one blown out cassette as well a couple of years after that. So that Pigs cassette will be kind of one of only two releases that I'm actually on that was released on Box Records. But again, kind of at the time, it was almost like, we had this recording of Psychopomp. It wasn't enough music for a record release. We were still kind of in between the split release that we did and putting out or still writing for the debut album, Feed the Rats. So it was a kind of almost like a quick and easy thing to do a cassette. You know, it wasn't much of a financial risk at all. And it was something that we could just put on the merch table, you know, so we could share our music with people. That was it. I think I did an insanely low amount of them. Possibly only 50, maybe 100. I might have done a few more. I can't remember.
I think it was 50, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are quite collectible as well. So,
right, okay.
I'm not sure they've hit the 150 mark yet, but now that you've just revealed the number, maybe that will.
Yeah.
Do you have one of those, Matt?
I've got one, yeah. I've only got one.
Part of the retirement portfolio there.
yeah.
Now, Matt, you're on vocals for Pigs, but you're a drummer by trade, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So Pigs is the first band, or was the first band, that I've ever done vocals in. So it was all very new to me, and there was a lot of kind of, I was learning on the go, really, you know, just in terms of everything, in terms of like lyric writing, in terms of using my voice. I often think that, like, not that anyone anywhere is ever going to do this, but if you were to listen to our records back to back in chronological order, I certainly can hear the progression of my voice. I can almost like feel like, you know, with each record, it's gotten like physically stronger. I was able to kind of project more and do more with it. So everything really on the vocalist front has been a bit of a learning curve, and especially, you know, if performing in front of people, you know, because all of a sudden I was without the kind of comfort blanket of a drum kit to sit behind, and I was kind of at the front of a stage. And certainly for the first handful of shows that we did, I spent a lot of time with my back to the audience. Over time, I started to kind of like feel a bit more confident, turn around and face people a little bit more. And the thing that kind of struck me was seeing the expressions on people's faces, you know, like just these expressions of like of joy, of elation. And it felt quite touching to be a kind of a part of that experience, you know, because essentially I came to realize that everyone goes to a concert, goes to a show for exactly the same reason. Everyone's going to kind of let loose, forget about any kind of troubles that they've got in their lives and to have a really good time. And that's the same for the musicians as it is for the audience as well. So everyone's there for the same reason, for the same goal. And as soon as I realized that, everything performance-wise became a lot easier, because I was, you know, I was like, nobody's come to this show to see us mess up. Nobody wants that. They want us, you know, everyone's behind us because we're all kind of moving in the same direction for the same cause.
Unless you're at a really big multi-stage festival, and then there's a few people at the back just dribbling in who really want to see you fuck up.
That's true. That is true.
Have you given him any of those moments?
I think you've gotten away with it every time.
Yeah. Masters of illusion.
I can't imagine you being shy on stage. That just must have been a complete evolution of your artistic self to be able to embrace it and, you know, be exposed like you are. Not only that, but I mean, just to go out there and your stage outfit looks like it's such that you need that flexibility. You can't have a lot of cloth constraining you. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, during some of our early shows, I was wearing a kaftan, a really big hooded kind of gown thing. It was like multicolored. Johnny's mum had made it for his dad in the 70s. It was a really, really beautiful garment. And yeah, I was wearing that at each show, but it was incredibly hot under there. And also I had one really embarrassing show where we played in Glasgow, and I got the mic lead caught up in the hood, and it left me with my arms suspended above my head, and I couldn't untangle the mic lead, and I felt very, very stupid. And I think that was the final nail in the coffin for the kaftan. But I think symbolically, like the kaftan, you know, like I said, like I wasn't a very confident front person. It was a very, very unusual situation for me to be in. And I, kind of outside of performance, I'm an introvert, you know, I'm not, you know, I mean, it's a strange kind of dichotomy, really. I can now go on stage in front of hundreds or sometimes thousands of people and feel really, really quite comfortable with that. But if I'm thrown into a room full of like six people who some of them, you know, I'll know quite well on a personal level, I can feel quite socially anxious. It's an unusual difference between the two things. But I think, yeah, the kaftan was almost symbolic of me trying to kind of hide on stage and cover myself up. And then kind of over time, I started to shed that as I was becoming more confident. So now, you know, I'm at where I'm at now with the performance thing, where I'm wearing quite small shorts and a vest. But yeah, so there's like some sort of like, yeah, symbolic aspect to it, I think, as well. But also on a practical level, it's a lot more pleasant wearing what I'm wearing now.
And you could pack a lot lighter too. I mean, you could tour the world in a little satchel. So
yes, and you'll be gigging completely naked.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. That's that might be a bit detrimental to ticket sales, I think.
Just some strategic duct tape and you're good to go. And now, by the way, if people haven't seen Pigs live or video, just get familiar with the band listening to this, pause it, go up to YouTube, Google them up and watch a track or two. You'll kind of see how astonishing this transformation has been. So you guys started Feed the Rats, came out in 2017, followed up pretty quickly by King of Cowards. That seems to be a very rapid turnaround. Those two albums, were they kind of written back to back? Were they, you know, there didn't seem to be much air between the two.
We'll be back after these messages.
Well, hey there, record collectors. There's a new service available that specializes in record cleaning, restoring, sticker removal, and professional grading.
VMGVinyl.com.
VMG Vinyl can help you make the most of your collectible records. From professional cleaning of records and sleeves,
removing old price tags and store stickers,
dry cleaning and rejuvenation of old shrink wrap to make it look like new, even providing you a professional play-tested third-party grade with either removable grading or encasing in plastic, you have a wide range of choices at VMGVinyl.com.
Buying a highly collectible record and you want it checked out by an expert?
VMG Vinyl can do that too. Head over there now and see what VMGVinyl.com can do for you and your collection. That's VMGVinyl.com, the one-stop shop for professional third-party grading, cleaning, and record restoration. That's VMGVinyl.com.
Oh, and hey, record nerds, don't forget to clean your records with the very best and safest record cleaner, the Groove Washer. Make your records look and sound their very best and store them with confidence using the new Groove Washer Groove Guard record sleeves. You gotta try this out. It makes a huge difference to the quality of your vinyl experience. Ask for the Groove Washer by name at your local record store and accept no substitutes. Or head over to groovewasher.com and use discount code VINYLGUIDE. 10.
All hail the Groove Washer.
That's groovewasher.com, discount code VINYLGUIDE10.
Now we return to the program, already in progress.
No limits.
So you guys started Feed the Rats, came out in 2017, followed up pretty quickly by King of Cowards. That seems to be a very rapid turnaround. Those two albums, were they kind of written back to back? Were they, you know, there didn't seem to be much air between the two.
They certainly weren't written back to back, really. I think with Feed the Rats, it gave us a kind of little taste of the potential of the band in terms of what we might be able to achieve. Certainly, you know, sitting here now, back then I didn't see kind of any of this coming. But after Feed the Rats, we did like a few handful of shows, like London, Manchester, some of the bigger cities in the UK. We did a little bit of touring in mainland Europe, and we got back from that and we thought, well, we want to do more of that, you know, that's where we want to be. And the best way of doing that is to you know, get our heads down and write another album. So yeah, it was quite a quick transition.
I think we'd also like Feed the Rats was our first release with Rocket Recordings, and I guess they're such good people who are really in it for the love of it, and I guess there's a bit of a, you know, responsibility to make sure that there's enough stuff coming out so that they're seeing, you know, some progress, and it was it wasn't just, you know, us anymore, with no real responsibilities, just you know, putting stuff out whenever we felt like it or had time between our day jobs. It was kind of, you know, there were other people to consider. And I guess that might be part of it, just sort of, you know,
it's yeah,
starting to work a little bit after that.
It seems to me that that album had more, the songs were a bit shorter than Feed the Rats. I'm assuming that's part of the natural evolution. What led the band to start writing, rather than these big epics, shorter, sharper songs?
I think it was just purely out of the enjoyment of the songwriting process. I think we'd gotten a lot more confident in our songwriting after Feed the Rats. We had done there was one much shorter track on Feed the Rats called Sweet Relief, which we were playing live and actually really enjoyed it. Like, there was just kind of really short, concentrated bursts of energy rather than kind of tacking everything together that we were writing and having this, you know, huge, gargantuan 20-minute long flow, which, you know, those songs have certainly had their merits as well. But I think also there was a sense of, like, in a way, it was a little bit more of a challenge for us to start condensing things down. And I think we enjoyed that process. I think we could have quite easily continued doing, like, really, really long, you know, bombast songs, you know, 20 minutes long. But I think there's part of us that would have grown quite tiresome. It would have grown quite too familiar, too easy. So yeah, certainly starting to think more about, well, how do we obtain that similar level of intensity that we were getting in those 20-minute long songs? How do we get that into a, you know, 3 to 5 minute thing?
It turns out wrapping a song up in like 4 to 5 minutes is way harder than 25 minutes.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, it took us a while to get there.
Okay. Has there been like this kind of holy shit moment when you guys are starting the band and you're starting to get some traction and then you guys look at it or there's an event happens where you're like, you know what? We're really making something out of this. This is something that has really great legs. Has there been that moment?
For me, I think the king, it was, when, you know, we're always very aware of managing expectations and never taking it for granted. And we're still, you know, every gig, we're still astonished that people come out to listen to our music. But I think the tour for King of Cowards, because that sold out and we did not for a minute expect it. Like, you know, the whole tour sold out and it felt like quite a big jump at that time. We're getting quite a lot of support from BBC Six Music here in the UK. And yeah, that felt like a tangible jump. And it was, there was a bit of a, you know, oh shit moment. People actually quite enjoy this as much as we do. So yeah, I think that was a bit of a moment for us, that tour and the run up to that tour and seeing shows, you know, sell so many tickets. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it must re-energize you to, you know, to see the commitment of other people. It's like, okay, well, now you almost feel obligated that you want to just kind of.
Well, there's a kind of a third responsibility now, which is the audience, which is probably the most important of all three. And yeah, so it's. And it just, you know, it's just still incredibly exciting and bewildering. You know, it seems that there's always something else. Like, we never would have we would end up in Australia on tour. And I'm sure, you know, in 10 years' time, if we're still doing it, even if we're not still doing it, we'll still be bewildered that we ever, you know, had a tour booked in Australia.
I'm so looking forward to having you guys down here. Now, 2020 Viscerals. Again, on Rocket Records, album of the month from Rough Trade. It also came with a bonus CD, Offcuts, which was released later on vinyl. Was that kind of already planned to come out on vinyl, the Offcuts, or was the demand so much at that point you thought, you know what, the CD, let's also provide that out on vinyl?
I'm not sure it was the plan when Viscerals was released, I think it was something that was put to us by Rough Trade later on in the year. So then we kind of had to take a look, see what we had in the archives that might lend some value to that release. Because obviously, you know, that one came out in 2020, so we've not really been anywhere or done anything other than release that album. So we'd certainly not recorded anything. But yeah, fortunately, we had a few like live session things kicking around that sounded good enough. And
I guess thinking about it, you record Viscerals, and then as it was being released, that's when the pandemic hit. So you guys had all these plans for Viscerals. What were some of those plans you unfortunately had to put on ice for a while?
Well, I mean, that American tour that we did in March, April this year, that was one of them. A lot of people had a much worse time than us. And in the end, that tour expanded. It got bigger. We were away for longer. It was, you know, like... certain things happen for reasons, I guess. So, you know, we certainly don't want to, you know, moan about it. But yeah, there was quite a lot planned, quite a lot cancelled. At the time, it was pretty tough, but it was for everybody. So,
yeah.
And, you know, we're just really glad that we managed to pick back up where we left off, which, you know, again, is another thing we never thought would happen. So
there was a single in 2021 with The Lovely Eggs. That was a digital file. I don't think that's come out on record, on physical form. Any thoughts? No. Do you think that'll ever come out on physical form?
No, absolutely not. it was a very fun thing to do. I was delighted that The Lovely Eggs wanted to be involved with it.
Had its moment, but it was very fun. We did it as there is a venue in Sunderland right next to Newcastle, an incredible independent venue, record shop and cafe. Dave, who was kind of the figurehead and started it all, he sadly passed away. We wanted to do a charity release to sort of raise money for the venue because they were struggling. And and Lovely Eggs had played there a few times. You know, they were friends with them, with those guys. And it was there. It was a lot of fun. It was primarily there for a purpose. But, you know, we're all still proud of it. And it's really nice to work with those guys as well.
So that will stay in the digital realm from this point forward.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So Land of Sleeper. God, the artwork is just gorgeous. Who does the artwork? Is it the same person who did the Viscerals artwork?
No, different people.
Every time, yeah.
Now, how much input does the band have with the album artwork?
We have pretty much every say. It's all down to us. Rocket are very good like that. Both of the guys that run Rocket Recordings, they are both graphic designers as well, which is really handy. And we'll give them a bit of a mood board, a bit of an idea of what we're thinking. And then they'll give us a load of names. And then we basically go through all the artists, find the one that we think's most suitable, approach them and see if they're interested, or if we can afford them. And that's basically the process, and from then on, Rocket really don't, you know, they trust us as they do with the music, which is very nice, and they don't really have much of an input, so it basically just comes down to us, which is very exciting, sometimes quite scary, but we've always been very lucky with the outcome and the artists that we've chosen. So
you've got this year again has been quite busy because you've got you've had a couple of years off. Everyone had a couple of years off with COVID. You've got the album Land of Sleeper. You've got Live in New York. You just came off a US tour. You're doing a UK tour. Then you're coming down to Australia. I mean, the machine's kind of warming up. What are you thinking about for 2024?
What are we thinking about?
Going on holiday?
Yeah.
Something like that. No, at some point we're going to turn our heads to writing some new stuff. But yeah, until then, I don't think we've got any solid plans in place, no, have we?
I think we'll have a little bit of time off over Christmas, focus on family and stuff, and then I think pretty early next year we're probably going to start on the next album and see where that takes us.
So guys, I think we've gone through most of the record nerd questions. Is there anything you guys want to talk about we haven't talked about?
We've done a little bit of research. It seems like there's a lot of like quite gnarly spiders over your way.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, is there anything we can do to evade them? Have you got any tips?
Stay on the plane. No, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to be in the major cities. You won't have to worry about any of that. So, you'll be fine. The one thing you got to worry about a little bit is probably the box jellyfish. So when you get up to Queensland, be careful about the water, just because there's some day in the warmer seasons you'll get the jellyfish in, and if you get there's some jellyfish here that are so. But people worry about the spiders and stuff,
yeah,
and maybe some of the snakes. At least you're on land; they can get you to a hospital, right? If you're in the water and you get hit by a box jellyfish, I think you'll just collapse. I think within a few moments. Hopefully you're in shallow water, but yeah. But that's way up north in kind of Queensland and way up.
I really think you underestimate our lack of tenacity. Like, we're British. I currently have an infected insect bite on my leg.
Me too.
Well, so that's going to be what? From a pathetic little spider with almost no venom or any sort of self-defense mechanisms, and we're both you're infected, and for us, our pasty skinny physiques into Australia, and we're gonna die.
You know what? You also got to be careful of the sun, because the sun that time of year is going to be hilarious. I mean, here, the SPFs, they don't sell SPFs that are below 50. It's just, the sun is angry. There are days where you can get sunburnt walking from the shops to your car, right? So depending on how far you park. So but look, you'll be all right. Wear a hat, wear some sunscreen, get yourself some flip flops. And probably the biggest worry you'll have to have is some of the beer drinking bogans getting too crazy. All right, guys, I am so excited you guys came on the show. Thank you so much. This is I've been wanting to get pigs here on the show. The albums are fantastic, and the fact that you're coming to Australia, which is way out of the way. There's a lot of times I'll get into a band and they never come to Australia, or once every 5 or 6 years. The fact that I've kind of caught it right before the tour cycle is very exciting. I may go to Canberra and Sydney. For you Australians, make sure you go to pigs7.com or pigs.bandcamp.com. December 8th through 16th here in Australia, the Meredith Festival, Melbourne, Canberra, Sydney, Brisbane, pigs. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Travel safe, and we'll see you over here with your board shorts.
Yes, thanks a lot.
See you.
All righty. We are looking forward to those boys being on the Australian shores. I'm definitely going to be at the Crowbar Show in Sydney. If you are going there, please give me a DM and let's have a quick beer. It's going to be a pretty wild night. I put some links in this episode page of some live videos from Pigs. Check them out if you're unfamiliar with them. But man, this is a juggernaut of a band. So if you get your tickets, get ready to strap in tight and have a big old time. And that's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Hop in there, give us 5 out of 5 stars, say something nice. That is always super helpful. And we'll be back shortly with the brand new episode. So until we talk next time, get out there and buy some records, people. Cheers.